Blog Talk Radio.
Rap track, kill 'em, fall back. Watch that swigger, you do the look up bigger. Hot rap, you miss with the cover.
In the building, you know how I do it, just like this. Promise, my man Tongo in the building. What's good, fam?
Man, what's happening? What's going down?
Welcome to the show, brother. It's a pleasure to have you, man.
Right on, man. Shelby, appreciate it. You did.
No doubt.
Now, a lot of people out there.
Tell them about yourself
because you do more than just rap. You got a lot of stuff going on. It's kind of deep in what you do.
Yeah. So along with the rapping, you know, I do the poetry. But you know, mainly I'm a political organizer, community organizer. Right now, working down in Jackson, Mississippi, just trying to, you know, get the people on the same page around issues of mass incarceration. Police brutality, trying to get some type of, you know, economic sovereignty, and these type of things. So, you know, it's definitely my relationship to my craft, man, is informed by, you know, by that work, by political work. You know?
Okay. Now, where are you originally from?
Originally from San Francisco. But I spent a lot of time. You can even say some of my upbringing was in New York City. I was out there for like 10 years. You know, born and bred in San Francisco though, and now pushing down in the dirty South.
That's what's up. Now, who are some of like the people that influenced you, like in the poetry business, and some of the rap artists that influenced you when you was coming up?
Man. Jesus, I don't even know where to begin. I first got put on to the poetry by my brother, man, my younger brother, Biko Isaac Martin. He's actually an actor now. You know, he got into it first, and then watching him, you know, I clicked with it too. But along the way, you know, Mahogany Brown, Jive Poetic, in New York, my comrade Anthony Morales, who I came up with kind of as younger poets in New York, Samira Raheem, also my peoples, and back in the Bay Area, you know, this woman named Mona Webb. It's a whole lot to shout out, and a whole lot of people have held me down. A cat named Matt Blessy, Chad Jackson. I could go on and on. You know, of course, just like most 80s babies, man, you know, hip-hop, you know, is responsible for some of my upbringing. So, you know, going all the way back, you know, all the Bay Area, underground rap, off top, you know, everything. We can start with those in need that should rest in peace. You know, Mac Dre, Kool Nut mm-hmm. from IMP, you know, Mr. C from RBL Posse, and then, you know, on to those who are still with us, you know, mob figures, Three Times Crazy, you know, Keek the Snake, Autumn, you know, all of that was an influence and a reflection of kind of Bay culture, you know what I'm saying? I think of all places, you know, I think the Bay Area is really where the rappers are, not to take nothing from nowhere else, but especially in the Bay Area, the rappers are really one with the population, you know what I'm saying? And then off top, man, you know, the other day, man, I was going ham to some, you know, Raekwon, Ghostface. To me, Ghostface Killer, man, is one of my top five, you know what I mean, off top. And shit, even, you know, some MF Doom, the whole gambit, man, you know,
no doubt. So when did you first knew that you was, you know, you was touched and blessed with, you know, not only just rhyming,
man,
but spitting some deep poetry?
Shit, Yeah, day one, man. On the real, I wrote my first poem, man, on the real when I was like 5 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
You know, of course, at the time, man, I really didn't think much of it, you know. And for a long time growing up, tell you the truth, I wasn't even really concerned too much. It was just something that came to me. But, you know, started, like, you know, in the past, like, kind of like 10 years, really, really started moving mean with it and kind of self-identifying as a writer. But it's been, you know, it's been with me the whole time, you know what I mean? Whether it was little poems or writing little raps, you know what I'm saying? I mean, basically, you know, every school along the way, grade school, I had something for you, middle school, I had something for you, high school, I had something for you, you know what I mean? And college and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also played ball at Columbia University. You was a forward, am I right?
Yeah, I was, man, but I didn't get no playing time. I ain't get no burn, man.
Why you
say it was
like
that? It was because it was a conspiracy, man. It was a conspiracy against brothers at that school, man. You know what I'm saying? On everything, man. They was running that Princeton offense, man. It wasn't made for brothers, man. You know, it was
wow.
You know. The other man got to shine, you know. I mean, not to say that, you know, I mean, it was a little bit of justice, you know, and actually my junior year, man, when I was really shaping up to kill him, I tore a ligament in my shoulder and it was a wrap, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, who knows? But there was some tight players, though, that came through and didn't get no love under that system. You know, there was this cat named Corey Barnes coming out of VA. You know, he's like Michael Vick's cousin. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Iverson's little homie. You know what I mean? He come through and just, you know, wasn't getting no love. So it was quite a few, like, you know, cool athletes, man. It didn't get no shine in that little system. But you know, yeah, man, I passed through that way. I put my time in on the hoop court. You know, I'm 6'8", so. You know, if I didn't play ball, I might as well kill myself trying to walk around 6'8", not playing no ball.
Now, you also, at the same time while you was playing ball, wasn't you winning, like, some awards for poetry in college?
Yeah, I did pretty good for my reputation pretty early. There was also then some more people to shout out. You know, there was this cat named Keith Roach associated with the New Eureka Poetry Cafe. My big sis, Felice Bell. Like, these were people, you know, that kind of, like, just gave me love off top, love and support. And they was, like, the heavy hitters running around New York. And so, you know, they just gave me that. I came in with that confidence. And yeah, made a pretty good name for myself spitting around New York. You know, once you kind of plugged in, you know, whenever somebody need a poet, you know, your name pops up, you get hollered at. You know, so I had a smooth run as a college.
All right. So, like, how do a person become a professional, you know, poet? Like, when do you know you professional?
Yeah, it's a tricky thing. I mean, you know, really do it when you want and figure it out. Because the thing about, you know, the poetry thing is, like, as a scene, you know, its concept of achievement is real varied. You know, some people really just trying to get a big enough name to jump off into something else. Like, you know, want to leverage it into, you know, being an actor or, you know, some cats even try to, you know, take it to the, you know, try to be musicians and stuff like that. I think it's when you put the time in to, you know, to get your, you know, to get your gigs together, to get your product together, you know what I'm saying, have a book, have a CD, and just make your rounds, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, man, you can really kind of like, some ways you can kind of just bully your way in, you know. You can bully your way into the profession if you just got that tenacity. At the same time, though, you know, you're going to have to deal with a nice little network of weird politics, but that goes for every line of work. But you know, you can turn pro anytime. I think, man, of all games, you know what I'm saying? The poetry, man, you turn pro when you want. Shit, I seen that. I was in Denver. Where was I at? Was I in Denver? Yeah, I was in Denver, man, a few months ago, I feel like. And, man, it was this little girl, just, you know, it was, you know, I was featuring, you know, had a nice little 20-minute set. But before my set, you know, this little girl, Rock, she was like 10 years old, you know, and already just was real futuristic with it. Now, I'm not saying she's going to jump out there, but, you know, she already was kind of building her reputation and building her expectation, you know. And so you just, you know, you just kind of get plugged in, man, as you go along. It's really just how much you want to, how much time you want to put in. Yeah.
Now, it's been said that, you know, your office can be anywhere from a Manhattan cafe to a cell block in New York, Rikers Island. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, well, when I was in New York for about 5 years, I was teaching in Rikers Island and also running a program that was bringing other people into Rikers Island to teach. So like over the course of that 5 years, you know, probably brought in tens of people to teach and probably seen, you know, probably worked with hundreds of kids, you know, in Rikers Island, it's always 2,000 kids locked up, like, you know what I mean, you catch that case when you're 16, you're going to Rikers, so, you know, there's 2,000 16 to 18-year-olds on Rikers Island, so, you know, work with them, doing political education, you know, just building awareness of ourselves and awareness of the world that we're trying to navigate, you know, and trying to influence, you know, jail culture to, you know, kind of to try to bring some unity to jail culture. Now, I'm not going to act like, you know, we just turned the whole thing into a Martin Luther King festival, but, you know, at least within the classroom, you know, we did. I think we were successful at setting up a culture in which, you know, cats were starting to see bigger pictures and were, you know, supporting each other from a constructive angle, not just out of, you know, like the usual jail politics, but really constructing something based on, you know, what we go through as a people and what we need to do to more than just individually succeed, you know, to collectively succeed. So I basically, you know, I mean, not just in Rikers, you know, when I moved back out to San Francisco and was teaching in the county jail out there, and, you know, you can find me in all type of places. I mean, you know, not just the jails, like teaching in the homeless shelters or group homes, all for youth, you know what I'm saying? I even spent a little time teaching in a youth psych ward, you know what I'm saying? So basically, like, the most wretched places. Is where you will find me, not because I have some type of jail Jones or institution Jones, you know what I'm saying, nothing like that. I mean, simply, like, you know, somebody asks me, like, well, why are you teaching jail? And I just say, because that's where we at. So understanding that, you know, this is where I see, you know, I don't see no difference in the jail population in myself, you know what I mean? And I definitely don't think that intelligence and creativity is, you know, belong strictly to, you know, an Ivy League university or a private school, or, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, creative expression, intellect, you know, as you see, when you know, as you see in jail, don't even need human rights to express itself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let alone be in an institution where, you know, basically where rich, privileged people be. Like, that's really the difference, right? It's just privilege here and oppression there. You know what I'm saying? But what we can do, you know, is universal. And frankly, like, I can say, like, the dumbest things I've ever heard come out of people's mouth was at Columbia University. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. literally, the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life came out of Ivy. Not just students, professors, too. And some of the most brilliant things I've ever heard come out of, you know, come out of a kid in the juvenile alternative to incarceration program. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, and it's deep. Because, you know, I want to touch on that part because, like, you end up back at Columbia as an instructor. Now, you know, like, going through what you was going through as a forward on the court and all that, you know, what made you decide to go back there as an instructor? Did you feel the need to go back there and educate the brothers and the sisters that was coming through that school?
Actually, man, you know, it was one of these things where, so the Black Studies Department at Columbia, or really it's called the Institute for Research in African American Studies, like, that really was the family, you know what I'm saying? That really was. I probably wouldn't have graduated without them. You know, that's where I found, you know, that's where I found a haven for my beliefs. You know what I'm saying? They didn't get in the way of my beliefs. On the flip, they let me. You know, they let me express them however I could, you know what I mean? So, like, even before I graduated, you know, I was teaching a class in one of the adult reentry programs that started. It was like the Osborne Association was the name of the nonprofit, and they was running a program in which guys would kind of get some training in like some culinary training and like some kind of like some computer training that would start in the 6th building, you know what I'm saying? And then it would be part of them getting out. I don't know if they were getting out early or if they was coming out to more, like, opportunity, but that was the whole hype. So while they were still inside, I was teaching, and the Black Studies Department was giving me, you know, was giving me a lot of college credits just to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, it was kind of like the work instructing, you know, is really, at Columbia really belongs to the Black Studies Department, you know what I'm saying, and the late Manny Marable and professors like Farrah Griffin and Stephen Gregory, like, these people really set up a place where radical minds could do their thing.
Okay. Now, you had a project called Black Fire.
Yeah, Black Fire.
Can you tell us what
Black
that was about?
Yeah, Black Fire, man, is really the entity that, you know, me and my brother been moving with really since we was kids. Like, so we started performing together, you know, at a tender age, you know what I'm saying, like 10, 8 years old, you know what I'm saying, and actually, like, you know, came up with that name, Black Fire, you know what I mean, like, young little kids came up with that, and we ran with it, and you know, so, you know, through the chapters of my life, you know, it's like, you know, there's chapters in which I did not stay strictly to poetry or, you know what I'm saying, rap or whatever, you know what I'm saying, but kind of like that legacy was still there. And so when we came back, like, you know, pushing harder, you know, we said, why not, you know, why not bring it back, why not keep it intact? And so, you know, Black Fire is, the, you know, it's the name of the group, it's the name of the collective, it's, you know, it's the name of the name of the publishing, you know, company, you know, so it's Black Fire, I guess. Is, I hate to call it a brand, man, because I don't like to use those terms, you know, and I know people, you know, if another person says what they do is a movement, I might kill myself because, you know, we know that a movement is more than just a group coming up together. It could be a beautiful thing, but it's still, you know, a movement is communities really bringing some self-determination about, not the priest, but, you know, so Black Fire is the culture, we'll say that.
Now, how did it feel to get, for your work that you did inside the jails that was featured in, like, the New York Times and the Fortune magazine? How did that feel for you?
It felt good, but you got to be careful, man. It's crazy, like, like, you know, they'll gas you up, you know, so, you know, the Fortune, you know, thing came up, and, You know, it's, you know, the guy was also like a CNN correspondent, you know, and you know, you got to be careful because the cat just took my words all out of context and basically just spun the same old bull that they sell at all times, you know what I'm saying? Like, completely stripped my words of all just coherent meaning and just let it fit into the format of looking at the kids like they just was a whole different species. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, that was, you know, to me, I mean, it's all gravy to have that on the resume, but that was a disaster. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as what publicity for the work should have really done, you know what I'm saying? It really just goes to show, man, you got to be careful when you ain't in control. You know what I mean? The times was smoother. The times represented the work better, but nobody gonna represent it like you can represent it yourself. You know, that's why independent media is so crucial. You know, and it's so much of, you know, we say, you know, self determination, like, you know, to determine what happens for us and to us politically, economically. You know, even militarily, if you look at our relationship to police and all that, it's really a military, you know, occupation. A big part of that self-determination is also media, you know, how we represent who we are, the image that we broadcast, you know, the messages in our culture, like that's just as crucial, just as crucial as having a group of people be able to run around and patrol your neighborhood and make sure nobody gets violated. Like, just as crucial as that is, you know, independent media that belongs to us and answers to us, you know. But, you know, so it looked like all that to say, like, look, it's cool on the resume, you know, but it's, man, that question just brings advice. Man, like, just be careful, you know. Be careful. Like, I really, man, you know, ever since then, like, I make my answers super thick with reporters so that there ain't no way they could, you know, there's no way to strip it. You know, every sentence is going to be lugged up. You know what I mean?
No doubt. Now, this is a real deep question. Like, you do mad things. You a poet, rap artist, producer. You a teacher, and you have a master's degree in African American studies, you know, and you saving kids all across America in the jails and group homes and, you know, community center. You know, how you find the time to, like, you know, just get, you know, freedom for yourself with you pushing the movement like 24 hours a day, it seemed like.
Yeah. Man, you know, I feel like I don't have enough time for myself. I mean, there's always, the whole hype is there's always something to do. You know, all I can say is just kind of being oriented around people first, our people first. Like, truly being oriented in that way, it's kind of like I get life on a different, like, angle. You know what I'm saying? All to say this. So when you know in the pursuit of profit, you know you put this work in, and then it's kind of like you get the reward, and the reward is the downtime, and, you know, especially, and I'm talking now for, like, even just like professionals. You know what I'm saying? You go to the job. You get it in, and then as soon as you punch out, then it's like, okay, now it's relaxed time. And part of that is because in that process of giving up yourself for money, things become kind of detached from you because you are giving your work. You're giving your work to an institution. You're giving your work to an agency, a company, et cetera, that no longer belongs to you, that they do whatever they want to do with. And so that kind of is the routine, you know what I'm saying? So you've given up yourself, and then when you finally get back to yourself, then it's just super crush time, you know? And this kind of, like, life structure, they this starts even in the school, because that's how you feel in school. You go to school, you go through your classes, you know what I'm saying, and you're in a situation that you know doesn't belong to you, you know? You know that you're not, that you don't have, again, when you talk about self-determination, you know that the process isn't accountable to you, isn't accountable to your people. So we, you know what I mean? And so it's the same type thing. That's why when a kid be done with classes, it's like, man, I'm not trying to do nothing here, nothing, just trying to veg out or, you know, whatever people do to cat off or chill, you know what I mean? Which is all, it's all reasonable. But I think, like, the fundamental contradictions come from being in a process in which, again, like, you know, you're what you do doesn't all belong to yourself. So now that I'm in this process, which I don't want to romanticize at all, you know, because it gets, you know, it gets rough, it gets insecure, it gets, you know, and when you're in a kind of, like, in a life in which we're kind of trying to bring about something that doesn't exist, it sets up a whole other set of contradictions, you know what I mean? So not to romanticize it, but I will say that being in a process in which my work truly belongs to, you know, for lack of a better phrase or word, the people, you know, I kind of, how downtime works with me is kind of different, and I'm not as drained, you know what I'm saying, by the things I do. In fact, I'm boosted. So, you know, like today I taught in, you know, in Jackson State University. I taught this class, ran down some stuff about Stephen Biko, and we talked about this quote, like Stephen Biko said, the most powerful weapon in the hand of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed, you know. And it got, you know, they rose to the significance of the quote, you know what I mean? And it was, you know, it was kind of like it was a beautiful moment. So when I leave there, I'm not drained, I'm boosted. Like, oh, consciousness was raised, you know what I mean? If not for, you know, another 50 minutes. Yesterday, I started a community education program that doesn't run through a school. And so yesterday we got a few new people to come through that were really into it. And it was all in the context of this broader initiative we're trying to do. We're trying to get a community oversight board over the jails here and over the juvenile hall here. And so to see people come in new and really sink in, and then after that I had a real great conversation really with school by this, you know, this veteran movement cat, you know, like, so I go straight from there to the conversation, and so I come out, you know, by the time all that's said and done, it's like 8, 9 p.m., but I'm juiced, you know what I mean?
No doubt. So I'm going to give you a Beef Stew Radio question that we always ask a lot of brothers. With everything that's going on in the hip-hop world on YouTube, Twitter, you know, the beefs, the fights, things being filmed, I just want to get your perception on what about that, and what do you think we should do about that? And do you think it feels, what is it good for hip hop, and like where we at, where hip hop is at now?
I mean, you know, I think that these are problems though that got to be solved upstream. You know what I mean? So here, you know, downstream, this is how, these are like the symptoms. You know, this is the manifestation of bigger contradictions, of bigger problems going on. You know, it pops up into this nonsense that you see, right? But really what causes all that nonsense, man, is deeper than that. So it's almost like, you know, but of course cats is gonna be now beating up people, like beating up each other and showing it, like, of course that's gonna happen. I mean, because we've been on pace for this for a minute, you know what I mean? As long as we don't start resolving the bigger issues in our communities, you know what I'm saying? Nonsense is gonna happen. Like, what tripped me out about this Lil Wayne thing, you know, they on Lil Wayne helmet right now, about the Emmett Till. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's like, but of course he's gonna say something like that. I mean, you know what I mean? Like he running out of, you know what I mean? He running out of metaphors. I don't mean no knock to them, you know what I'm saying? But how many times, like how many ways are you gonna say you beating it up? You know what I mean? Like he got your things on. Of course he's gonna end up saying something that somebody might find out of pocket. But the cool part is though, you know, it's funny how all these people that, you know, you get these like, I don't know, I ain't going to say opportunist, but really, you know, so it's leaning toward opportunistic type civil rights cats, like, oh, that's out of pocket, da-da-da-da-da. But in the same breath, they preface it like, oh, I love Lil Wayne, but now he's gone too far. It's like, come on, man, you know, you're co-signing his whole mind state to begin with. Of course, that's what his mind state is going to do. You know what I'm saying? And so it's funny. It's like how much, you know, bring that to get that to a broader context. Like there is kind of like activity that we co-sign that is not healthy for us. That is just as destructive as people fighting on YouTube as other things. You know what I mean? That we condone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we got to get to. You know, we got to get deeper into the roots of problems and really get people in touch with the real power. You know, once people get in touch with real power, real collective power, then we don't need to find little power and little fights and little petty pecking orders and, you know what I'm saying, a real shrunk version of pride, you know what I mean? I mean, it's valiant, you know. Like, damn, dude can really scrap, like, you know. Wow, you know, that's a good fight, but that's such a small world, you know. When people really, we capable even more, like, oh, you know, because I personally don't think, you know, Cass kind of looks down. I don't think the youth is soft. And all my time, I mean, you know, like, you know, people's like, oh man, and all this gun, they scared of fire, da 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 da. I can tell you, man, just as somebody who works with them, has been working with them for years, man, they're not really that soft. It ain't all like that. It's really just the progression of madness that we have been condoning. You know what I mean? And we'll only get more ridiculous. But keep in mind that, man, cats thought we was ridiculous. You know?
Yep.
There was a point when all the 80s babies, when we was, you know, in the 90s,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
People looked at us like we was insane, you know. But meanwhile, we are not really building our true power. People are not building our true power, and we really just in a world where things is just happening to us instead of us really making things happen, you know, on a bigger scale, on a scale that will really take care of, you know, take care of us, you know.
Now, can we get a little taste of something, man? Like, you know, a little brief taste of some poetry?
Yes, sure. This is a new poem. This is probably one of my newest poems that I wrote. Might as well give it up. From a two-floor skyline, an abandoned house talked to me. It said, young man, you are heroic and 10 years old. Among 20 generations of friends, friends will free fall away, free fall up, free fall the walls with fifth grade speed to industrial paint behind secondhand fences. Young men use quick knife tones, be bone and brass, be last laugh music. You are always leaving, always one change of clothes from the door, a life and escape. Two-floor skyline said you the guy that dies in the middle, the friend more blues than skin. The face that cheap hotel schizophrenics can place with 90 mile per hour right eyes among dry heat killers, once children, 3 feet high and roaming and repeating and aiming at cotton mirrors that hang on breathing walls. You are 10 years old, tagging along, yawning at well-lit violence, whistling tool shout songs. You will be useful. You will be high and alone, flying on a nephew dragon from a $20 family in a sky that calls itself just more soil. Around walls that are just walls, except these walls suggest you make wives out of hives and currency here. The air is polite to bullying walls and sleepy glass. Young man, you will admit that sometimes suicide is power. Some people live stronger as ghosts, and sometimes the afterlife empties. billions of souls into objects like abandoned door frames and playground bullets. Even broken glass will prove it has voice too. Man, there's 24 hours behind your back. Look over your shoulder right now. Can you hear it? The sound of drums punching themselves out. The sound of piano parts learned in between assassination attempts. Be bone and brass. Be bone enough for two souls. Be invisible again. Suffer red-eyed accents. Professional fingertips are gifted victims. 6 a.m. beer. The first month of probation. To shout at the wall. See these words that shouldn't be home. Look behind you again. Be invincible again. Be windward. Be a sad machete. Be her son. Be a thief. Steal them back. Laugh too long. Never look away. The afterlife will empty and walk you home.
Hmm.
That's it.
Wow, bro. That's fire, man.
Appreciate it.
Definitely fire, man. I want to thank you for being on the show, and definitely thank you for dropping that knowledge, man. If people want to keep up with you and, you know, get some, and, you know, stay up with you, how could they do that?
Okay. So I have actually have an EP on iTunes. Search iTunes, search Tongo, T-O-N-G-O. And I'll pop up, man. Like on most things, man, it's just usually only one or two Tongos running around this world. So if you search Tongo and iTunes, the EP is called From Black Fire. I got 6 tracks on there you can download. Also, if you go to blackfirepressoneword.com, you can order my book from there. And I'm on Facebook, you know, you can just holler at me on Facebook about anything. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Anything. Anything anybody want to talk about or get together, holler at me. Look for me. I'm again, Tongo, T-O-N-G-O, and my government, man, my last name is EISEN-Martin. So, you know, holler at me. It's good.
No doubt, fam. Thank you again, man. Mr. Tongo Martin, man. It was a true, true pleasure of being blessed by your knowledge, man. And make sure you come back here, man, and give us some more knowledge sometime.
Oh, man, for sure. Much respect, man. Much love, man. This was a treat, man. I love how y'all keep it solid, man. So, yeah, man. My treat, man. Much respect, man, what you doing.
No doubt. Like you said, Mr. Tongo Martin in the building. We're going to get into this joint, Bad Girl by Sun. We be right back, y'all. Let's do it.
She bad. She know she bad. She know she bad. action. Yeah, everybody like her. Don't wanna fight her. She the bomb by her shit, so I just ignite her. Louis Stewart purse, says she know her own worth. Yeah, scrap love, cause she the baddest on the earth.
My nigga Seuss featuring Case, I made it. One love, y'all. Do I? I'm up out of here. Peace, 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 peace.
you do. You got that old spirit. Can't nobody tell me no different. You so good with it. All them bitches want you, but you ain't got that time. But I got time for you. You like my attitude. You got me wondering if I could ride out with a soldier.
Got the stick, Honda, Tudo, talking like she white, how she can do more. I just wanna be mommy, uno, from Lip at the beach, with Papi, Chula. We ball harder, we stay rock, we ice skate like we play hockey. Everything great, attitude cocky, it's all laid out. Hollow, rock, in and out of state, move like a trucker. Ask about him, he a wild motherfucker. New York snowman, he's so frosty. That's your bro, get it off ball, we at the ball. This is sauce, team full of killers, don't ever cross me. Niggas wanna toss me off and soft, cause I'm in the bins of the 6 for the car.
Let's go. I set it off, I don't gotta let it off. It's something on my chest, I'ma get it off. Hoes wearing clothes, go and get them off. Bring your girlfriends, we gon' hit them off. Black on black thing, German engineering.
Let me help you visualize the words you're hearing.
I'm a fly nigga, airborne. Puff, you can hear, but don't hear wrong. You can't steer wrong, put a right path. Adding your bitch is what I call a right math. Audi or the Lincoln, or a D-class. Or the manual, I pull up in that 3 fast. All me cash, I can spin it quick. So my, yeah, I can send it quick. She can spin it quick, what's the benefit? It's the Tony Sands, and it's been a hit.
alive. Crisp when the fuck put it dark and high. Staring with the hands to the moving side. Staring with the hands to the cover of the eyes. Hoes don't care, they act like a two tried this physical round the outside. But a platinum razzle, back back slap. Taking that bad, fucking fat, the size don't matter. The bitches don't scatter. I'm the one that you don't want better. It's coming from the gutter, the point night. I'm just thinking about it, I'll be with a minute, motherfucker. Minute time, man, you gotta take.
Thank you. limitless.
Yeah.
DL2G. Welcome to the moment.
Welcome.
Limitless niggas, we on it.
We on it.
Can't stop now. We going to the top, hands down. Play time is over. Time to put the world on our shoulders.
Yeah.
Hold up, Cuzzo roll up. He got the team moving faster than a Cobra. You can't make moves with no bucks.
With no fuck.
You can't make money with no drugs.
No
whack
drug.
Niggas moving too fast, they need to slow up.
Yeah.
The music is trash, I'm about to throw up. Yo, Beaver, we told him it was nice. Grown man shit pushing the white. Put heads on the table. First whip, I'm a cop, it's a great coup.
Yeah, this is larger than life. Gotta grind, gotta make things right. I gotta make things right. Remember when I used to flip that white? No sleep, hustling all night. Now when I grace that mic, true story every time I write. Bright lights, cameras flash, man, we own the night. True story every time I write. Nah, nigga, you don't know my type, and this is larger than life.
Hopping for hard nights, up late, trapping out. Stuck in this hard life, trying to find a way out. Ain't nothing going right, everything fucked up. Fam, this is a pit on me, my best friend's changed up. But that don't stop my hustle, I'm still gonna grind hard. I'm dream chasing to the end, it's like it's my job. Throw any obstacle my way, I'm getting through it. Been through a lot of shit, and I'm still going through it. Shout out to my niggas that hold me down, yeah. When I hit the top, they the ones that's gonna be there. With no question about it, I'ma hold down the fan. Music is the formula, on the mic, I'm a different man. I used to sell drugs, thinking I'ma get right. This is some real shit, homie, this is my life. Never fabricating shit, you always get the real riz. The time is now, I know it and I can feel it.
Yeah, this is larger than life. Gotta grind, gotta make things right. I gotta make things right. Remember when I used to flip that white? No sleep, hustling all night. Now when I grace that mic, true story every time I write. Bright lights, cameras flash, man, we own the night. True story every time I write. Nah, nigga, you don't know my type, and this is larger than life.
Hustle to the break of day, no sleep, gotta smoke the pain away. When I doze, it's like I'm at the peephole. When I close, hunger keep me on my toes. As my clock goes tick tick, I quick flip back to the kitchen, get it whipping like it's Miss Wick. I'm a chef, said wig, misfit. No regrets, play it back, I wouldn't change shit. And that was bright light, center stage, music lay. Mark deep, no joke, we 1 foot away. Stock grows soon as I let the lames go. My friends knows which ones I'ma keep close. Cause as you get rich, fake friends start to switch. Backstabbing, now I'm headed to that jail quick. Or in the box, it's crazy how life gets. No regrets, play it back, I wouldn't change shit. Yeah, this is larger than life. Gotta grind, gotta make things right. I gotta make things right. Remember when I used to flip that white? No sleep, hustling all night. Now when I grace that mic, true story every time I write. Bright lights, cameras flash, man, we own the night. True story every time I write. Nah, nigga, you don't know my type, and this is larger than life.
I just had to rest my wits. Thank you. I'll do anything. I'm nothing in the world that I won't do. I give the word to you if you want me to. I'll do anything.
I have inside, I will no longer.